This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of things around the Umpqua Valley. State Senator David Brocksmith up in Salem today. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle.
So yesterday, I didn't get out the door quite as quick as I should have, but I think you'd have probably, you and whoever you were with, had gone by, but I know you were down here for the Veterans Day Parade.
Oh, it was an amazing event. I just want to thank everyone, all of our veterans and volunteers, Clerk Loomis, for all their engagement in putting together just, once again, the best Veterans Parade in the state of Oregon in Roseburg, 7th annual celebrating our veterans in Douglas County. And I was with, of course, Commissioner Freeman, Commissioner Boyce, and Commissioner Crest, and Representative Osborne in the parade yesterday. Just what seemed to be thousands of people out celebrating our veterans during the parade. And just really congratulations to all for all their work.
And while we're on the veteran note of veterans, I understand you've got some information the veterans community is probably going to want to hear.
I do. As you know, we were able to resecure the $35 million for the third veterans home to be built in Roseburg. The Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs has done just phenomenal work in making sure that we climbed, once that was secure, to Tier 1 status with the Federal Veterans Administration, which includes, of course, the funding ask in that system. There are over 80 Tier 1 homes on that list across the country. I had a conversation with Congressman Bentz yesterday morning because I had learned that part or some of those Tier 1 veterans homes were getting funding in the amended CR back in D.C. He did confirm that's true, but only the top first nine were getting funding. I just really want to thank Congressman Bentz for all of his efforts back in D.C. For pushing for our funding for the Veterans Home in Roseburg, as well as Congresswoman Hoyle for her coordinated efforts as well. So we'll continue to do so and push for the funding for those veterans' homes, not just nationally, but, of course, in Roseburg, in a future budget bill, which Congressman Bentz is working on.
So just to be clear, we didn't make that top nine list.
We did not, unfortunately.
And what is the hope for how far up the road would there be an opportunity to get more in a CR or some other kind of group of legislation?
Yes, there will be another budget bill in Congress, is my understanding, in the spring, and the push is to make sure that not only does Roseburg get funded, but all of the Tier 1 veterans homes across the country are funded to give that promise to our veterans, as well as the economic input that it would provide with jobs and construction and so forth in Roseburg and across the country. So that's the effort that we're making, and we'll continue to do so. And I, again, appreciate Congressman Bentz and Congresswoman Hoyle for all of their efforts in making that happen.
So on Monday, the governor announced that she had signed the transportation package apparently a few days earlier. Give us your initial reaction and talk about what these increased fees will mean.
So, yes, the governor actually signed House Bill 3991 on Friday, but did not let anyone know until a release on Monday. As you know, she has lawfully 30 business days to sign the bill. So technically she had until today to do so. We have, of course, Senate Republican Leader Starr, Representative Ed Deal, Jason Williams from the Taxpayers Association of Oregon, are the chief petitioners in a referral to the people of Oregon to vote on it in the November 2026 election. I've been part of the planning group in putting together that effort. It is stopthegastax.com for more information on how to do that. I did speak with the Douglas County Republican Central Committee Chair Trent Drake this morning. There's going to be 13. There's going to be a statewide signing on November 22nd, Saturday, across the state. We have mobilized over 2,000 volunteers to collect the roughly 100,000 signatures. We need 78,000 to put it on the ballot. So if you just do the math, 2,000 volunteers, if each 2,000 get 50 signatures, that's the 100,000 we need. They will be collecting those signatures again in 13 different locations. So stay tuned on where those locations will be in Douglas County. And we are hopeful that we'll be able to do that effort before the December 30th deadline. It is unfortunate that the governor, in all her talk about transparency federally, wanted to stifle the Oregonians' voices in the opportunity to refer this to a vote of Oregonians across the state. We're hopeful, again, with the push and the coordination that we've been able to create, that we will collect those signatures in the timeline that we have, the governor has left us.
A lot of different fee increases in this. I wanted to ask you about one of them that related to electric and hybrid vehicles. So what can you tell us about that aspect?
So there's a new fee. So the gas tax, so the electric hybrid vehicle fee is an additional $30 a year, is my understanding, for the electric and hybrid vehicles. They currently, of course, hybrid vehicles pay the gas tax. Electric vehicles do not. This does negatively impact the hybrids greater than because of the fact that they already pay a gas tax and now they're going to be tacked on. Of course, the electric vehicles do not pay a tax, and so therefore it is not going to be impacting them. But we just got a transportation cost ranking across the country, and Oregon is fifth highest in transportation costs. Of course, California first, Hawaii second, Washington third, Nevada fourth. What this means is it's going to increase Oregon's gas tax by 15%. It's going to increase title fees by $139, increase registration fees by $42. It's going to double the transit payroll tax from 0.1% to 0.2% that everybody pays to fund public transit. Of course, that $30 fee for hybrids, and then a new road user charge. So you're in a situation where the average cost, Kyle, is going to be about $600 per Oregonian family. However, that is going to be higher for our rural Oregonians that have to travel farther for goods and services, which has been my argument from the beginning. Because if you're living in a more metro area and you're only traveling a few miles a day to get to and from work or to and from goods and services for your family, it's going to cost less. But those that live, for example, in Port Orford that have to drive an hour in either direction to get to a Fred Meyer, it's going to cost more. And so that's the same in folks that live in Malheur County and Wallala County and our rural counties in Eastern Oregon. So we have a serious problem. Republicans, as we've talked about before, gave opportunities, and Senate Republican Leader Starr was on the Transportation Committee and was attempting to negotiate in good faith. That did not happen in the regular long session. And frankly, Governor Kotek refused to have any negotiations or conversations when she called that special session to ram this down the Oregonians' throats. So we are engaged in making sure that we get the referral out to the people so that we can have them vote. We have polling that shows that 67% of Oregonians do not want this gas tax, and that is bipartisan. And we believe that we'll get it on the ballot in November. If we're able to collect the signatures by the December 30th deadline, then the tax and all the fees will not go into effect until after the vote in November.
So as this was being talked about in the legislature, debated on, did anybody bring up the whole aspect, though, of for hybrid vehicles that they do pay gas taxes, they just pay less of them?
Yes, it was discussed, but they did not want to have a deeper conversation about how to regulate those hybrid vehicles separately. So they just rolled it in with the EVs. It's frankly one of the frustrating things as the vice chair of Energy and Environment for years in the legislative process. My Democrat counterparts have always kind of frowned upon hybrid vehicles, which are actually fantastic, in my opinion. And they're just, their full push is full battery powered EVs, which is ridiculous. We don't have the generation capacity, let alone the charging stations for those in the state of Oregon, especially rural Oregonians. And so it's very frustrating that they're basically penalizing our hybrid owners greater than that of EVs.
All right, State Senator James Brock-Smith. More when we come back. Quick break. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It is 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250, Lars Larson at 1. Congressman Cliff Bentz will be joining us for tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, live from Washington, D.C. And I do believe we've got Bruce Starr for Friday's program. Double-checking on that, but that was the initial plan. State Senator David Brock-Smith from Salem with us right now. Anything in the transportation package that was signed that does anything in terms of addressing oversight issues with the Oregon Department of Transportation?
Not really, Kyle. And frankly, there's no real projects in the bill either. And it's frustrating that you're seeing this 15% gas tax increase just to keep the status quo. We're still in a situation where, again, the Republicans' plan that was being negotiated did have some better oversight. It did have conversations about projects that are needed. And we just wanted to utilize existing dollars and give legislative direction for the department to utilize those existing dollars to fund the maintenance that is critically important across the state. And they said no. And so we are hopeful. Again, I keep pushing this. No tax. The website is Stop the Gas Tax. That has all the information that you're going to need. You're going to be able to request a petition on that site to where you can download, print, sign, and mail, which will be fantastic for Oregonians across the state. You're going to be able to do that and assist in the efforts without going to a signing event. So we are hopeful, and we are in a big push, and it will go live to get those petitions. Because of the delay from the governor, the chief petitioners were able to file Monday morning. Great staff at the Secretary of State's office were able to get that all taken care of Monday. Now they're just getting the signature sheets clarified, which we should have by the end of this evening. And so you should be able to start tomorrow in collecting those signatures. But Senate Republican Leader Starr will be able to talk more about that on Friday.
So let's cover a few other things in the few minutes we have left. What is ahead for the rest of the year for people like you, members of the legislature?
Well, we have legislative days next week here in Salem that we have every other month. The short session of the legislature and starts February 2nd in 2026. The bill deadline, where each legislator is allowed two pieces of legislation. The bill deadline for that legislation is the end Friday of next week. The two pieces of legislation that I will be filing are my salmon credits bill. Just real quick, the salmon credits is a way to get uplift of salmonid habitat on marginalized land where it's volunteer only. Basically, it will allow a developer that is going to be developing property that they have to do mitigation, and rather than hiring a geomorphologist and all of these, they'll just invest in salmon credits. They'll get a mitigation surety, which is something that is greatly needed for any economic development projects. And then those dollars will be invested, and a landowner is going to get a dividend from that, and then they'll be able to get the work done on the salmon habitat on their land. So they're not only just, you know, raising cattle or growing hay, they're also raising salmon. The second bill is another repeat. It's Senate Bill 881. As you know, and we've talked about, I helped lead the effort to repeal and reform Measure 110 in the 2024 short session. One of the things that I was not able to get done in that piece of legislation was where those treatment dollars are going. Right now, it goes to the Oregon Accountability Commission, which is a joke, frankly. So we have a fantastic organization across the state called the Criminal Justice Commission. These are the individuals such as Commissioner Freeman has been on the CJC for a long time. When I was a commissioner, we helped create the justice reinvestment to reduce recidivism. So what I would like to see is those canvas dollars that pay for treatment go to the counties rather than through the Oregon Accountability Commission to these political for-profit nonprofits across the state. The counties then can create the MOUs and contracts with the service providers so that there's accountability to the people in their communities. No one knows their counties better than the commissioners. And of course, their public and mental health departments in an advisory role will be there in creating those contracts. And those dollars will then be boots on the ground. You might remember a few months ago, there was an article in the Oregonian where the first year of this, $3.2 million was spent of these tax dollars, these cannabis tax dollars for treatment, to treat one person in Multnomah County. It's absolutely, it's waste, fraud, and abuse. And having it accountable to the people by moving it through the counties and the county commissioners are the way to go. I look forward to getting that done in a short session.
Less than a minute left, barely time to touch on this. Do you think the governor will run again?
Yes, I don't think she has a choice. Governor Kotek will file eventually. She's out there raising money. We have some great candidates already in the governor's race. Of course, now Senator Christine Drazen, who's been a dear friend and colleague of mine, Commissioner Bethel from Marion County and others. You'll remember back in 2022, there was, I think, 18 Republicans in that race. I know that there will probably be more before it's over. But we have fantastic candidates that I'm working with in the Senate. So as deputy leader in the Senate, that's my role. We are pushing ahead to really make a difference, and we have an opportunity in 2026 to do so in the legislature. And I know Representative Osborne, in his leadership role as whip in the House, is doing the same thing along with Representative Skarlatos.
Hold that thought. We're out of time. State Senator David Brock Smith, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.